We're going to read from God's Word, 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verses 1 to 7. We're going to be looking at this passage and also some things from Titus 1. But we'll just read this passage at this time now. So 1 Timothy 3 and verse 1. The saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. Therefore, an overseer must be above reproach. The husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not a drunkard, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own household well, with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. For if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become puffed up with conceit and fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must be well thought of by outsiders, so that he may not fall into disgrace, into a snare of the devil. Amen. Today we're looking at the subject of the elder's character, or overseer as they're called there in the book of Timothy. And as we approach an election of elders, we must remember that we ourselves have no right to decide who we want to be elders. Jesus is the head of the church. It's his church that he has died to redeem. And he alone has the right to decide who should be the elders, the leaders within his church. And what he has gives us in the passages we're considering in 1 Timothy and Titus is a description of what the elders that he has chosen look like. And our responsibility is to use the descriptions that Jesus gives us, which we'll be thinking about over these next weeks, and to look around to see what men fit this criteria. But as we consider the character of the elder today, we need to first of all realize that God's word applies to each of us. And indeed, you know, all these qualities we're thinking about today should be qualities that are developing in the life of every Christian. So think about it as a message today about our character, and then afterwards think about the eldership election. But the first thing we need to consider is why character is important. And as you look at 1 Timothy and Titus, there's far greater emphasis placed on the character of an elder than on his abilities. Now, why is that? Why is it important? Well, first of all, for teamwork. An elder is not to be a lone ranger doing his own thing. He's to serve as part of a team. And one of the great strengths, I believe, of Presbyterianism is this understanding that the church is to be led not by an individual, but to be led by a team. Indeed, the stability of the church in many ways comes from that. But to enable there to be proper unity and cooperation in that leadership team, what's important then is character. If you have people of bad character, people whose character means they're unstable, people who are loose cannons, then that will really work against the whole idea of a team ministry and the unity within that team. One of the important phrases in regards to eldership is the term collective responsibility. Elders are to work together. And when they make decisions, even though they don't necessarily agree with every decision, they have to maintain that unity. That's important in government, and unfortunately at times in the Stormont government, particularly in these very important days, the idea of collective responsibility often seems to fall down and people speaking out in unhelpful manners. That can't happen within a Kirk session. Elders need to be those who will work as a team and have the character to do that. Secondly, character is important for our witness. If you're going to be a church with a good reputation, the elders, the leaders, need to be those who have a good reputation. The world outside will be far from impressed if we have elders of great talent, of great ability, but if they don't have godly character. It is men of integrity, men whose walk matches their talk, that will speak loudly to the power of the gospel in these days we live in. People need to see leaders who are real, to be drawn to Christ. Thirdly, character is important for perseverance. Any Christian service today is not easy, particularly as we live in days in which society has become increasingly hostile to Christian and biblical values. Serving as an elder is a great responsibility. It also brings much discouragement, as is serving in any other area in the life of the church. And we need to encourage those who serve in our church. Working with people, working for people, can be a great challenge. And laboring for their spiritual advancement, indeed, can be something can cause terrible discouragement. Anyone who enters the eldership with a romantic view of it being easy and seeing continual blessing will soon be disappointed, soon be disillusioned. Elders need to be in it for the long haul. They'll face many discouragements, many disappointments, and the thing that will help them persevere is godly character. Great ability will not help them persevere. It's the right character that matters. And fourthly, character is important for God's blessing. Psalm 1 says it is a godly man who will be like a tree planted by a river that will be fruitful. Psalm 24 teaches that the man with clean hands and a pure heart will receive blessing from the Lord. We think of the story of the revival on the island of Lewis, and at a prayer meeting, someone read that Psalm 24 about clean hands and pure heart and says, "It's absolutely humbug, men, if we are seeking God's blessing and we are not right ourselves with him." And he prayed earnestly that they would be right, and God's power was let loose at that moment. Psalm 66 says, "If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened." It's not great ability that God blesses, but great likeness to Christ. God blesses those with a godly character. So four reasons why character is important. And then secondly, we come to consider character described. And I'm breaking this up in different ways to help us just to get a grasp of all the different terms that are used in Timothy and Titus. Let's think first of all of the elder at home. Paul begins by looking at the home life of an elder because in many ways, what people are at home is what people really are in reality. You can see in the home life if someone's a genuine article or not. First of all, an elder is to be a faithful husband, the husband of one wife, Paul says to Timothy. Now, this doesn't mean that an elder, someone who's a single man or a widower, that can't be an elder. It doesn't mean necessarily that someone who has divorced, particularly if they're divorced prior, indeed, to conversion, that they can't be an elder. The husband of one wife was particularly important in those days because people could have several wives in the days that Paul was writing to. And what he's saying is an elder is someone is to be an example as a husband. An elder is someone who will be known to be a faithful husband, a caring husband. If he's going to be a caring shepherd in the flock of Christ, he needs to be a caring husband. Secondly, he needs to be a good ruler. He ensures his home is run well. Paul says he must manage his own household well. If someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church? In many ways, the family is like a mini church. In the Old Testament, before the priesthood was established, it was the father as the head of the home, indeed, who served as a priest. In the New Testament, the father is the one with the chief responsibility of teaching the children the things of God. And Paul's argument is, if a man can't run his mini church at home well, how can he run the big church? And so an elder is someone who could be an example of this. Now, none of us who are fathers and none of us who are mothers here will indeed be perfect in our roles. But we should be serious about our roles and seek to bring up our children in the ways of the Lord. And this brings us to the next point, which is an elder is to be a good father. The children are believers and not open to the charge of debauchery or insubordination. The elder's children will be obedient, not wild, not uncontrollable. And again, it comes back to this. If an elder can't control his own home, if he can't control his own kith and kin, How will he control and exercise leadership in the church? Again, none of us are perfect, and we need to come before the Lord and seek forgiveness, but we need to be serious in our roles in the home. So the elder at home, a godly example there. And then let's look at a number of things about what the elder is not in regards to his character. He's not blamable. This means he's beyond accusation. It doesn't mean that he's perfect, but it does mean that he will not be open to any serious accusation of wrong conduct. Secondly, an elder will not be addicted to wine, not have a reputation as a drinker. The elder will be someone like the Apostle Paul, who was clear that he would not be controlled by anything that would hinder his witness for Christ. And we need to remember, it's not just alcohol people can be addicted to. There's many other things as well. An elder has control in his life. Thirdly, an elder will not be a fighter. He'll not be violent or quarrelsome, some of the words that are used. The phrase "not violent" literally means he's not a striker. Not in the football sense, but in the boxing sense. There mustn't be someone who tears stripes of people either physically or with his tongue. They mustn't be quarrelsome, which means there mustn't be someone who's always ready or loves an argument. They're not someone who indeed will cause trouble in that way. Fourthly, an elder isn't to be a lover of money. The elder is not to be someone who is greedy. Not all about, indeed, feathering their own nest. This is because one of the crucial things in the eldership is being sacrificial. Serving. In my Bible reading this morning, it was this passage where James and John, where their mother brought them to Jesus, said, "Can my boys indeed be in the chief places in heaven?" And Jesus says, "The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve." And that's the example of the elders. They're sacrificial towards others. Fifthly, the elder is not to be a recent convert. He's not to be a novice. The danger, Paul says there, is someone who's recently converted, indeed, they can come with pride puffed up, and that's dangerous. They can be an elder maybe someday if God so calls them, but not just yet. Now, you can't put a time limit on that. It's down to maturity and something we have to be aware of, though. So what the elder is not blamable, not addicted to wine, not a fighter, not a lover of money, not a recent convert. And then some things about what an elder is, and encourage you to take time to read over these passages and to pray about them in regards to your own life, and then about the election of elders. The elder is to be disciplined. He's to be temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, self-controlled, some of the phrases used. His life should have order in it. Shouldn't be a life of chaos. One of the words translated as temperate means he is watchful. He is circumspect, careful in how he lives. One of the best descriptions of circumspect I've ever heard is, imagine a wall. You know, sometimes people put glass on the top of a wall to stop people climbing over. Imagine how a cat would walk along the top of that wall so carefully. That's what circumspect means. Careful where they put their feet. Indeed, another word for self-control means he is of sound understanding. He's wise in the freedoms he has. He's disciplined in the use of his time. And that includes surely having priority for that which is most important in the life of the church, in prayer and Bible study. The elder then also is patient. He's gentle. He's not quick-tempered. Now remember what we said? Service can be very frustrating. And we need people who will not fly off the handle easily. People who indeed will be patient with people as the Lord is patient with us. In the midst of the frustrations, they'll not let their frustrations, their disappointments, rule them, but they'll be in it for the long haul. An elder will be hospitable, welcoming. This literally means a lover of strangers. Someone who has a real love for people, someone who has a love to be around people. This doesn't mean that necessarily the elder will be a loud person. Some of the most hospitable people can be shy people, can be quiet people, but they work at it. It means that they think about others and are sensitive to others. And like Barnabas, have a spirit of drawing people into the fellowship. Next, the elders should be holy, just, righteous, a lover of good, some of the words used. It means they hate that which is impure. They hate that which is evil. They seek that sin would be defeated in their own lives. They're serious about holiness. They're serious about becoming more and more like Jesus. They come to the means of grace to avail of that. And also there are those who are serious about, in their lives, the seed that will lead to a Christ-like living is important to them. They're serious about the Ten Commandments, about keeping them in these days. And again, the final thing is there, in this section, is they're a good witness. They have a good testimony. There are those, indeed, who have a good reputation with outsiders, Paul says. And we've dealt with that before. So some of the things that an elder is. And then my final point today, very briefly, because of the sake of time, is developing character. How do we develop this character in our lives, whether we're elders or not? Well, the means of grace. Scripture is the first thing. The second thing are the sacraments, the visible word. And through the scripture and the sacraments, Christ comes to us. The life of Christ flows into us through faith and the power of the Holy Spirit. The next thing is prayer. It's a relationship with Jesus in which we talk to Jesus that the character of Christ will indeed come into us more and more. It's as we spend time waiting upon the Lord that we indeed come like him. The next area is that of service. Indeed, in a sense, our knowledge of Christ, which we get from the Word, the sacraments, and prayer, will lead us to service. And the more we serve, the more knowledge we will gain of God. And the more knowledge we gain of God, the more we serve. And the more we serve, the more we'll gain knowledge, and so forth. Service is an important part of this. The other thing, fifthly, is fellowship. Godliness is not a private matter. It's something that is brought about through mixing with God's people. The word fellowship, I think it's been cheapened in recent days. It's not just about having a cup of tea and talking about trivial matters. The word fellowship means partnership. Partnership in worship. Partnership in prayer. Partnership in the word. Partnership in service. Partnership in evangelism. Through those things, we become like Jesus. And the final thing is trials. James says, consider it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Many of the great men of God that were used down through the centuries, including the Apostle Paul, were men who suffered, and it's through the trials that probably was their greatest increase in character, in godliness. So take time to read over those passages and think about your own character. Character only begins, though. A Christ-like character only begins at rebirth. It's through being born again, entering into that relationship with Christ at that moment. That's where it begins. And then it develops as a relationship with Christ develops through these means of grace. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your precious word, and we just pray that indeed that we would remember the words that you spoke to the prophet Samuel. Man looks on the outside, but God looks on the heart. And Father, help us to be honest before you about where we are in these matters. And give us that grace, O God. Give us the grace that we need to be godly in our character. We pray for wisdom, Lord, in our selection, Father, of elders. We just pray that the men of your choice would become clear to us. And Lord, even those men you'll be preparing now. In Jesus' name, amen.